This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We have two lines wide open. You can call us anywhere in the country if you're listening on the stream over at radio.com, and if you know how to do that. I say that because our folks in Congress were grilling the CEO of Google, and man, if you're an IT person, you want to see a comedy act, you watch that whole grilling of the CEO of Google, where they're asking him, "Hey, sir, if I have my iPhone over here and I walk over there to the left, do you guys know I sat next to that guy over there?" And the Google CEO is saying, "Well, you know, maybe, sir. It depends on what services you signed up for." And the congressman's yelling back at him, yes or no, did I? If I walk over there, well, you know, I'm sitting next to that guy over there. And again, the CEO is saying, well, really, again, it all depends on what you agreed to with whatever services. I really can't tell you yes or no. I'm not apologizing for that guy, but he was right. However, he also knows, the Google CEO knows, that the moment you take any kind of technology from Google, Apple, or any of these guys, Apple maybe a little less because they do pride themselves on more security. Google's you're pretty much selling your soul to the Googleplex when you join any of their things. You pretty much have to opt in to have things work. Right. So if you want your navigation to work, you definitely need to make sure you know your location. Right. They have to know where you're going in order for navigation to work. I don't think it's so granular that it would know if that congressman got up and walked over and sat next to this other guy. But it could be. Right. It definitely could be. My point is, though, these guys are just clueless when it comes to technology. And we really need to hire folks that have some skill sets other than, you know, able to raise money or, you know, deal with.
Well, if they actually had any marketable skills, they wouldn't be in politics.
That's a good point. Good point. Sorry. All right. Yes, I'm hoping for too much. But it was really kind of funny to see the back and forth with this guy demanding if he's, do you know I went over there? And the Google CEO saying, well, maybe, I don't know. It depends on what you signed up for.
That's like a politician passing a law based on technology that hasn't been developed.
Yeah, I have no idea. Clue, the blind leading the blind. All right, let's get to your calls. You're nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. We're going to go to Kurt in Torrington. He's got a question. Hey, Kurt, what's up?
Hey, Eric and Bob, how are you?
Doing okay.
I've been listening to you guys for years and a day. I didn't want to bother you with the small problem, but I said, I'm up here from the holidays. I live down in Tennessee now. So
oh, congratulations.
I moved out a couple of years ago. So long story. You know how that is.
I do. Well, it's not really that long of a story.
How far down in Tennessee are you?
I'm down in the eastern part in a town that's next to Dolly Parton's Pigeon Forge, which is Dollywood in that area. Beautiful. Neat. In the Smoky Mountains.
Okay. Nice. Is it like close to Chattanooga?
No.
Okay.
No, you're more. I'm about an hour away from North Carolina.
Okay.
Oh, beautiful. So what can we do for you up here?
Well, you're gonna laugh, but I've taken your advice over the years, Eric and Bob.
Well, that's good. Why would we laugh about that? We think we know what we're talking about. We think we do.
I have an R-Wall, so you know what I'm talking about there. And I bought an HP Elite 2 based on your recommendation.
You like it?
Oh, love it. Yeah. But here's the problem.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with the HP. I have a 9-year-old, don't laugh now, Toshiba satellite.
Wow.
07.
That is old.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah, it is old. And I don't, that's why I bought the Elite 2 to replace it. I don't like Windows 10. My old one, like all people say, is like an old pair of shoes. It's comfortable. You know what I mean?
So I understand.
It's not a big deal, except the only thing is, the other day I backed everything to a Western Digital external hard drive. So, you know, all my pictures and documents and all that stuff, I've cut and pasted and put on the Western Digital.
Okay.
And every once in a blue moon, I think about it, I back up that Windows 7 on the same Western Digital. Now, I don't care about the backup so much because I have everything on the Western Digital that I need. But I can't even create a restore point without boring you to death of going into...
On the 9-year-old Toshiba?
Yeah, the 9-year-old Toshiba.
You can't create a restore point.
I can't create a restore point.
Well, we're kind of going here in the studio, we're saying, wah. It's 9 years old. Pronounce it dead and move on. No, so are you running?
And I may do that. That's why I've never called you guys that. I'm not going to tie up their lines.
That's okay.
You know, I said, oh, you got two empty lines.
I'm just kidding. I'm happy you're here. So I'm happy you're here to talk with us. No, I mean, do you have any space? Are you out of space on the device?
No, not out of space. I've run scan disk. I've gone into the tools of the C drive and, you know, I've done everything I could possibly do that I know of. And it's one of those things, you know, throughout the advice you've given through the years, most of the stuff I've been able to correct, I can't.
Correct or do? Or you correct our advice?
Do and correct. Okay. You know, whatever the problem I was having at the time, you guys always had a solution. Or somebody like Gary, who had almost the same problem.
Yeah.
You know, I almost didn't want to follow Gary. I was saying, he's got an old machine. I do too.
Yeah.
You know, all we're going to be talking about is an old machine that I should have put in its grave a long time ago.
Well, are you getting an error on the restore point creation? What does it say?
You're getting, I don't remember. I, you know, like I say, I wasn't planning on calling you guys. I'm up here for the holidays.
Yep.
So it's like a 0x800 and then 24. Yeah.
Are you getting a blue screen then? Is it a blue screen that pops up when you try to do it?
No. When you go to create the restore point, it'll sit there for 5-10 minutes. All of a sudden, you can't create it because you can't back up a shadow copy with that 0x800, whatever it is, 4235, you know, error code. You get an error code when you try to do a restore point.
Yeah, okay.
0x800.
The other four I don't remember.
4S.
Okay. Try to go by memory.
Do you have a solution for him, Bob?
I think so.
Okay.
So we'll put a link on this we think is the right solution.
Okay.
And again,
I went into your old links first. I said, maybe somebody had the similar problem where they couldn't do a backup.
No.
Or do a restore. I don't care about the backup. The restore point I was just more curious about.
Yep. We'll see if we can put a link up there. Again, a 9-year-old operating system's probably got a lot of problems. But, you know, if this article
actually
works, that's good.
Yeah, actually, it's been a good – and it's kind of clean. There's not a lot of junk on the machine, you know what I mean?
Yeah, good.
I just – you know, it's my laptop in my computer room down south. And the HP, you know, I'm still – it seems like you have to do 10 steps to get into, you know, say I was trying to help my daughter-in-law out that's having a problem with her Epson printer.
Mm.
Well, on my Windows 7, all I do is go in devices and printers and right-click and get the properties. And, you know, you can check the ink levels and everything else. Windows 10, it seems like I have to do 5 steps to get into.
Don't even get us started on some of this stuff with Windows 10.
Yep.
It's a nightmare.
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, there's an actual knowledge base article here that's specific for the hotfix to probably solve this for you.
Okay.
You're going to download a hotfix and apply it to your system, and that should correct this issue for you.
I appreciate that. So I figured I'd give you a call without tying you up and let you do a link, and I'll look at that when I get back to Tennessee.
Right. You're hightailing out of here. How fast are you going to be out of here? Heading down there on the second?
Oh no, not until after Christmas.
That's what I meant.
He's still going to be out of here before the tolls go in.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully. It depends on the snow. You know, coming up here is the same thing. You know, don't forget, they're not used to the winters that we had. They just got 18 to 24 inches.
I know.
In Bristol, Tennessee, and southern Virginia.
Yeah.
There were tractor trailers still stuck in the snow put down inside when we came up here Tuesday.
Well, they were due for it. They were due for it.
Oh, yeah. So
better than us.
Yeah.
That's what happens to retired guys. I hate to rub it in, but I can go home anytime I want now. So,
yeah, all right, stop it. All right. Thanks, Kurt.
And again, I figured you just didn't want to talk about your kids, so I figured I'd call in.
There you go. You're right. We always threaten that.
Okay.
You
guys have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I appreciate all you do for all of us guys that are out here, women that kind of, you know, have computer problems but don't want to bring them down to the geeks. You know, rather call you guys and say, hey, you know, somebody else has got the same problem. It's nice to have that back up and appreciate you do it for nothing.
All right. Well, we're happy to be here then, Kurt.
All right, guys.
Thank you.
Have a good holiday.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, so he's going to be hightailing it to Tennessee after Christmas, and we're all going to be jealous. So we're going to step out for a quick break. Mark and Jack, hang on. Two lines open for you. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here at 11 o'clock. Two lines open for you. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. That whole grilling of the CEO of Google was just, you know, they didn't even touch things like Dragonfly, you know, the areas of that they really should be looking at when it comes to Google creating a special little search engine for the folks in China.
But that was supposed to be the reason why they called them there in the first place.
They're all asking, how does my phone work? Are you guys looking at me? You watching what I'm doing? Of course they're watching what you're doing. You let them do it. Come up with a law, guys. You're good at that. There we go. But of course, they'll have to pay you first. And then you become out a multimillionaire somehow because you wrote a law that Google likes better than anybody else likes. It's called a loophole. I think they get paid by the loophole, actually. A multimillionaire congressman. They go in as teachers. They're making, you know, teacher salaries. They come out multimillionaires. They get paid by the loophole,
Look
guys.
Look at the Clintons.
Well, the states get paid by the loophole. That's the whole business they're in. How many loopholes can they write and how many millions do they get for each loophole? Let's go on to Mark in Columbia Lake. Hey, Mark, where's Columbia Lake?
In town of Columbia.
Oh, okay, simple enough.
Next to Eastern Connecticut State University, Willimantic.
Very cool, simple enough. What can we do for you, sir?
Believe it or not, Windows 10 problem.
Oh, yeah, that's what we're here for.
There we go. I smartened up insofar as I decided I needed to put all of my business files on a business computer and my personal files on a personal computer. So I bought two desktop units. One, my old one, which had both originally, was running Windows 7.
Yeah.
The new one's running Windows 10. Mm-hmm. All my business stuff is on Windows 10. Keep them separate. But I did purchase, with the advice of the computer folks that are local here that are fantastic fellows, a 4-port USB 2.0 KVM switch so I could have both desktop computers go into this switch mechanism, and then one monitor, one keyboard, one mouse, one set of speakers runs either one, depending on which one I switch to.
It's a beautiful thing.
Except that it doesn't work well.
Well, it's not, believe it or not, before you go too far, it's not a Windows 10 issue. That's a hardware problem.
Really?
Yep. Okay. So you're physically plugging in those devices into the KVM. So all the KVM is literally a switch. So when you plug your speakers from the Windows 10 into the KVM and you plug the same thing from the Windows 7 into the KVM, you're just making physical connections to the shared devices. And you could have – no, you're not going to have driver issues. There's no actual software implication here at all. It's purely a physical issue that when you switch from one to the other, if you're not having something work, that KVM switch could be bad. Now, Bob might have another opinion, but that's where I'm going, Bob.
All right. So
you think something else is
when you're saying it doesn't work, what does it do?
Yeah, what doesn't it okay. do? Good point.
Yes, let me clarify that.
Okay.
If I turn on the new computer running Windows 10, everything works fine, usually. On occasion, I'll hear a doo-doo-doo, and then a few moments later, the screen goes blank. And
right. It loses physical connection.
So 4 or 5 seconds after that, a doo-doo-doo, and then a moment or two later, the screen comes back on.
It sees it again physically.
Yeah, it's losing a USB connection.
Or the video connection.
But the thing is, I took both computers down to my fellow local,
yeah.
and the same thing happened with him.
Sure.
And
he told you to buy a new KVM switch, I hope?
What kind of KVM was it?
Pardon me, sir?
What time of KVM?
What kind? Was it like a TrendNet?
It was either Jide Tech or Tide Tech.
Never heard.
Brand name.
Okay.
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
What's happening when those screens go blank is that they can't see the physical computer, and that means the switch is not making a nice good connection, a nice solid connection to the computer. When you switch it, it's literally taking all those connection points and flipping it right to the other, to the shared device. And if the device isn't seeing it, it's a bad connection.
Now, one of the things that you said it had
four ports.
It was four ports,
yeah,
which I assume is VGA, which has the blue connectors. And you said it was USB 2.0.
Yes.
Now,
that's what's written on the top of the device.
What I'm going to tell you is this is older technology because it should have come with USB 3.0, which would have had the ports. The USB ports are going to have like little black panels in there that it connects to. If it had USB 3.0, it would be blue because 1.0, they're white.
Mm-hmm.
So you can kind of tell by the color. Of the USB port.
Yeah. So you brought it to your guys in the area that you live, and they suggested what? Did they try a different KVM?
Actually, I can look at the ports, the VGA ports. They're blue on the inside.
Yeah.
Right. So, but I'm talking about the USB. So my point is, the point I'm trying to make is that...
They're white.
Oh.
Yeah.
Then they're even older.
Didn't follow the standard. So here's the thing. Yeah. I think you got kind of like an off brand. That's probably kind of cheap, maybe $20 or something like that.
No, maybe if they marked it up, it was $40, but yeah.
Okay. So I'm thinking that the technology is old enough that your hardware isn't able to communicate effectively with it.
Yeah, because it's not doing a good job connecting physically.
So you really need like a two-port KVM because you only have two computers.
Right.
Right.
So four ports, kind of overkill.
Yeah.
And it would be a lot simpler. But you want to get one that's got USB 3.0.
Sure. Yeah.
So then it has the latest standards and it'll talk to everything.
But it has nothing to do with Windows 10, nothing to do with Windows 7. When your monitor goes down, it can't see the computer anymore, and that's purely of the fault of the KVM. I would return it to your guys and say, "Look, we think this is not so good," and see if they want to offer you a better option, a two-port option. It's more current, or you can just go to Staples or Best Buy and get them.
Or even
online.
IO Gear makes a very nice two-port KVM that's, like $30 at Best Buy.
Okay. These guys are good. They'll take care of whatever the issues are. I'm actually looking in where you plug in the Logitech USB plug, the plastic. I use the word plastic. That's inside those things are white. So that indicates a lower level of...
Well, what it means is that the manufacturer didn't really follow the standard because they're supposed to be color-coded based on the speed. So typically, if they're white, if you look on some of the computers, you'd have to look at an older one. The USB ports, the little flat part in there would be white. And then on the newer ones, they're black. And then on like some new computers, you'll see some of them are black and some of them are blue.
Right. White is usually 1.0. Black is 2.0. Correct. Blue is 3.0.
Correct.
Yeah. So you have an older technology or like Bob said, they didn't follow the standard. But that's your problem. Your KVM is your problem. Well, I'm 100% sure that's your problem. There's no drivers or Windows 10 or Windows 7. You could plug in anything. You could be plugging in a toaster that uses VGA, and if you flipped over to it, it would connect.
And
it's just a physical connection.
If the KVM was built on older technology, this is hardware now. So hardware's got to talk to other hardware.
Right.
The the technology is always improving. So the older technology may not have what the knowledge built in that it needs to be able to talk to the newer equipment.
Yeah.
Got it.
All right, Mark.
Okay. Well, gentlemen, I learned something new today. I appreciate the show that you folks do. It's always enlightening.
Our pleasure.
And keep up the good work. I'll appreciate it.
We'll do so, sir. Thank you.
Wish you well. Take
you
care.
Too. All right. Bye-bye. All right. We're going to step out for a quick break. Everything we've talked about so far has been posted over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. If you follow us on Facebook over at Tab Computer Systems, if you like us on Facebook at Tab Computer Systems, it'll go into your news feed, everything we talked about. Also, if you follow us on Twitter, Tab Computer Sys will tweet right at you. All the information we've talked about, you'll get linked automatically. So we're going to step out for a quick break. Hang on, Ann and Jack, if I could speak. Two lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. Says Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're here till 11 o'clock. Let's get right to your calls. Dr. Lessie, I guess, will be in with Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. So stick around for that. We're going to go to Ann in Glastonbury first. What's going on, Ann?
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
For more than 20 years, I have had the same internet provider and have utilized their email services.
Mm-hmm.
With this distinct knowledge, and I checked probably about a year ago, if and when I were to move out of Connecticut to a place that does not have Cox services, what about my email? Oh, no problem. There's a program that we have that you can keep your email for X amount of dollars a month. Great. So yesterday I paid them a visit for another issue and mentioned that, only to learn that that was eliminated about a year ago.
Sure. Yeah.
My question to you is, what are your suggestions for paid internet providers, not internet, paid email providers to have the security basically that I have enjoyed with my current provider?
Well, yeah, and the word security, you're just calling it security as far as having the comfort of the same dot at message, you know, and at cox.net.
Right.
If you want to talk about real secure email, ProtonMail is what I would have you check into. And basically, all your email is encrypted and located in Switzerland.
Yep.
And they have no way of decrypting it. This is ProtonMail was created by a bunch of MIT scientists, and they decided to put the servers in Switzerland, so you're under Swiss privacy laws, and you know what they did for banks way back when. So we can put a link on for ProtonMail, and I think it's free for home users. And you'll always be at whatever their extension is, which could be at Proton, I guess, for as long as they are in existence. And your mail will be completely secure.
Yeah, because basically, and I just I'm a very trusting person, I guess, but the statement that Cox had made initially is that we don't sell your information, and I don't know if that's true or not. So, it seems that I do get less things with them than I have with a very limited Gmail account that I needed to establish for whatever reason. But I don't know. So,
well, with ProtonMail, it's fully encrypted, located in Switzerland, and even our Congress won't be able to figure out how to get the data. They don't understand how it works, but technically you can't. It's even the Proton folks don't hold the key you do. It's a key on your local system. So,
all right, great. Well, thank you so much, and have a Merry Christmas.
You too, Ann.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
So that should work out for Ann. Let's move on to Jack in Glastonbury next. Hey, Jack, what's happening?
Hi, sorry, I accidentally hung up on you. Yeah, I've got, just a comment on that email thing. I have a friend who lives in Eastern Connecticut, and he's chairman of Republican. Well, I don't know if he's chairman, but he's like on the Republican town committee. And prior to the election, they were sending out, update newsletter emails, and all of a sudden, he's got a Gmail account. All of a sudden, his emails were returned undeliverable, you know?
Mm.
So he takes the word Republican out of the title field of the emails. They start working again.
Mm.
Interesting, huh?
Maybe.
Well, anyway, that's not my question. Here's what I've got. I've been using VNC to do some remote connections. I still have a Raspberry Pi, and you need like a larger screen to operate it. So I had it set up so I could operate it off of my Windows desktop or off of my iPad. What I wanted to do was try to see if I could use VNC to connect to my desktop and use my iPad as my remote client, okay? But apparently VNC won't let you have a license if your desktop is a Windows base that's not a server. You know, like I have Windows Home Premium, Windows 7, and it won't let you install it. So I was looking at another product called Splashtop, which apparently allows it, but I have no experience with that product. Do you guys have any recommendations on something like that?
Well, I've never heard of Splashtop. So you want to use your iPad to remote into your Raspberry Pi is what you're trying to do?
No, I can do that.
Okay.
I want to remote into my Windows 7 machine so I can read my, you know, I want to go to like the Outlook to read my emails and stuff like that and do housekeeping type stuff that's easy to do where I don't have to type a lot of stuff in.
All right, let me see if I can find something that would work with both the iPad and work with Windows 7. I know Bob's looking for that, too. But Splashpad, we've never used. Obviously, you could try it.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
I used to, a long time ago, we used to use these products when I was working for Pratt. We had a Citrix client that you could...
Oh, sure.
And that all worked pretty cool. That was like a long time ago, but you know, you could remote to your computer at work, you know, from your home. That was kind of nice.
Yeah, very expensive. Citrix is wicked expensive. We usually recommend terminal services for our customers. Saves them a ton of money than buying Citrix. It works just as good. There are some tools out here that we can link here that'll work with your... The key is with an iPad. Bob, did you find anything specific?
No, not really.
Mm. You basically are going to set up your Windows machine itself to just use the built-in configuration. There are things like TeamViewer that might work. I have to check to see if it'll work with iPads into Windows 7 hosts. But you can just configure your Microsoft desktop to accept remote connections. Go ahead, Bob.
We do have a client that uses an iPad to remote into Windows desktops. They set up a VPN connection, and they actually remote into their computers.
Just a raw connection right to the Windows 7.
Yeah, it's a remote desktop connection, yeah.
So it's not as thin as Citrix. You understand the difference, right, Jack, between just a VPN connection, which is just a one step toward it, versus a thin connection that would actually just display the screen.
Something that would have at least like an X Windows level or something so that you can see your desktop the way it looks when you're at your desktop.
So they make a remote desktop app for the iPad that you can use, but you need to get access to get to your
Windows 7
Windows. So you would need some sort of a VPN, if you will.
Yeah, so I'm sure you could find something in the iStore there that offers for that remote desktop app.
Yeah.
And then... I'm looking here at an old configuration where you can literally turn on the remote access for Windows 7, but I think you know how to do that already, correct?
Yeah, but my understanding was that you had to have a certain level of
operating system
OS on your Windows 7. If you have, you know, like the server editions or professional, you can use things like VNC, which provide the...
Right. No, not in this case.
You do need to have professional remote desktop. Yes.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
That's why Bob's here.
I've read that there's a hack that you can add to your Windows 7 that would let you do it, but I didn't want
to
go.
What about Go to My PC? Is there a Go to My PC option where you can...
They do sell that. There is also VNC. There's a lot of...
Yeah, but the VNC is, again, requiring a pro, but if you just go to My PC or log me in, I bet you there's a log me in for the iPad that'll work with a home.
They might be able to use showmypc.com.
Mm-hmm. There's some things out there.
All right.
Nothing doesn't ring on top of our heads because we don't use a lot of iPads to connect to stuff.
Well, I use it. Basically, what I'm doing, I'm sitting there at the TV, you know, and some of the shows are worth watching and others aren't. So you go, you know, you start using your iPad to look at stuff. And I thought, well, gee, it'd be really nice to look at my desktop, you know, see if I got any emails.
Oh, sure. Nothing weird about that, Jack, you know.
No, I know. I'm just saying that the iPad is kind of convenient for certain things where you don't want to carry a laptop.
Well, what about setting up your iPad to get your email already? Like set up your email client on your iPad and just get your emails right to it.
Well, I'm a user of Outlook. I've been using it so long that I don't want to. I've got that train set up, you know.
Well, they have an Outlook for iPad.
Oh, okay.
I'm 99% sure of it.
Yeah, okay. That might be a way to do it. Yeah, I'll look into that.
We'll put a link. We got a link here for you, too, as far as an option for you.
All right, yeah. If I find something, I'll make a report back to you guys.
Oh, great.
Okay? Yeah, all right. All right, thanks a lot.
All right, Jack, thank you.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye. So, yeah, he's trying to remote into his computer to get at his Outlook email, but you could just eliminate the whole remote process by simply setting up Outlook on the iPad. You can receive your email in multiple places. You don't have to do it.
That's true also. Yeah.
So he's kind of Rube Goldberging into the system versus just getting the email on the iPad. So, like for my tablet device, I don't want my email there. I don't want to know.
Yeah.
If I'm looking at my tablet, I don't want to know about email coming in, for crying out loud. Give me a second of freedom from my email. I'm going to step out for a quick break. Get to your calls. Guy and John, hang on. Two lines open for you. This is Computer Talk. Healthy Rounds will be up next. Dr. Leslie's in the green room. We'll be right back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here at 11 o'clock. Let's get right to your calls. You're nice enough to join us. We're going to go to John in Torrington next. What's going on, John?
Hi, how are you guys?
Doing okay. How are you, sir?
Fine. You two do such a fantastic job. You're funny. You're professional. I hope Santa brings you both a big raise for Christmas.
Hope he doubles what we get paid here. We're happy to do it.
Anyways,
thank you, John.
I got a real simple question. I'm a simple guy, but I need a simple answer.
Sure.
I'm putting it open in the DNS, and I printed out the article on it, and then it says after you put in the addresses, once you configure your DNS settings and save them, we highly suggest that you flush your DNS resolver cache.
Mm-hmm.
I can't find anything about that in your archive, which goes back to 90 days, so I can print it out.
Okay.
Could you guys put that back in how to clear the DNS cache?
Yeah. Do you know the command, Bob, off the top of your head?
Yeah, it's ipconfig space forward slash flush DNS.
Can we say that again?
Yeah. ipconfig.
All one word. Ipconfig space.
Ipconfig, yeah.
IP. I is in India. P is in Paul. Config.
C-O-N-F-I-G.
And space forward slash flush DNS. No spaces in between.
Let me reread that. Ipconfig forward slash.
Oh, there was a space and then a forward slash.
Space and a forward slash. Forward slash, and then it's just flush DNS?
Yes.
And that's it.
That's it, sir.
That's it. That's in a command prompt. Now, when you want to open the command prompt, type in Charlie Michael David, CMD, and when that icon comes up, right-click and choose Run as Administrator, or it won't work.
Where's the command prompt? I'm not sure. I'm confused.
That's the little black box. It's if you type in the search, CMD, Charlie Michael David, it'll come up.
Okay.
And then you're going to right-click when it comes up, Run as Administrator, and then you're going to go ahead and put that that command in. Now, we're going to link it, of course, for you.
All right.
We're not going to make you memorize all this, John. Nothing worse than trying to memorize syntax.
Not a quarter of 11 in the morning.
Well, what time do you get up? It's quarter of 11. Half the day's over. What are you talking about? I'm sorry.
One more question. My Norton was running out today, and I bought WebRoot.
Nice.
And I also have, though, on it, I have a subscription to Malwarebytes Premium that expires in March.
You don't need both.
I don't need both.
No, you need what you're doing with OpenDNS and WebRoot should be all you need. The only time you'll need to keep or run Malwarebytes is if you become infected with something. It's a good remediation tool.
Okay.
But I wouldn't run both of them, or your computer's going to run so slowly. Don't run both. Don't keep them both active.
Well, should I wait until my Malwarebytes runs out? Because I paid like $60 for that premium thing, you know.
Yeah, don't buy the Webroot then until you...
Well, I bought the Webroot already, but I haven't put it in yet. I bought the version for about $19, so I don't have to...
So
I
don't
put that in when Malwarebytes runs out, right?
Yes, sir, yeah.
So that way I get my year's worth out of the Webroot.
Sure.
Now, my the other one, Defender, that's not working. Is that because Norton's on there?
Yes, sir.
Yep. Expires today or tomorrow, I guess.
Yeah, Defender will only go on if you have no antivirus at all.
Okay, so it won't go on even if when I have malware on there, so it won't work, right?
Well, again, Malwarebytes, you mean? Yeah, it won't run with Malwarebytes is running on there because Malwarebytes does have a virus component.
So what's the advantage of having Malwarebytes or Webroot if you got Defender in the program? How good is Defender? I don't know anything.
Well, we used to recommend Defender as a free home antivirus, but it's becoming a much more dangerous world out there.
Okay.
And again, if you want to really trust Microsoft with everything,
yeah.
I think that's silly. They're not known to do everything that well.
Yeah.
So we like to hedge our bet and have different security tools rather than having Microsoft guard the hen house.
Fine. Hey, thanks so much. And again, have a great Christmas and hope you get that big raise. I deserve it.
Thanks, John.
Me
too. Bye-bye. All right. Let's move on to Guy in West Hartford next. Hey, Guy.
Hi, fellas.
What's up?
Hey, I've got a question on Office 2010, and after that, excuse me, a comment on remote access.
Okay.
So the question about Office 2010 is I've got Office 2010 running on a computer, actually a couple computers, and I want to know if it's, I've been looking at the prices of buying Office either on a new computer, and of course Microsoft's going to the subscription model now, and I've got these unlimited licenses for Office 2010. Is it... worth saving the $200 and change to just port the Office 2010 from an existing computer to a new one?
The answer generally is yes. Porting it over, as long as you retire the old computer, you can't use it on both, is cheaper, obviously. And Microsoft does have a subscription model, but they also have a straight purchase model. They're not going to tell you about it, but they do. So if you really want to rent Microsoft Word for the rest of your life, you can. But to me, it's unconscionable. I mean, so you don't have to do that. You can just buy a copy of Office right. And pay for it once and run it for the next 8 or 10 years like you've done with Windows 10, the Office 10.
Right.
So,
I still have the CD for Office 2000, and I can install those unlimited anywhere I want, and then upgrade packs to 2007, so that actually works as well.
I've never heard of an unlimited Windows Office 10 license unless you bought some sort of corporate thing.
Well, no, it's Office 2000.
Oh, Office 2000?
Yes.
Yeah, gosh, I'm surprised it probably won't run very well on any... Well, you can't load it on anything current.
Well, it won't work with a
Windows
modern
10.
Exchange. I mean, Exchange 2010, it won't work with 2010. It'll work with 2007.
Right.
We don't use Exchange.
No. But Office 2010 will work on current Windows 10 operating systems, okay.
And then it's also got Windows 7 on there. I mean, I don't think it's worth porting the operating system over anywhere. It'd be so hard. It takes so long for it to have the upgrades, and you probably want to go to Windows 10 anyway on a new computer.
You should retire Windows 7 whenever you're done with it. No reason to continue its life. It's going to be done in 2020 anyways.
If you have a Windows 7, there's no reason to be using it after 2019.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So what was your other comment about the remote desktop?
Remote desktop, first of all, I agree with you guys that I don't want to access email from my tablet, and I certainly don't want to port into another machine from it.
But, it just seems a little troublesome.
But actually, for the people that are doing it, I do have some experience with remote access.
Yeah.
We were using GoToMyPC for probably about 10 or 15 years. Was working very well until they sold out to a bigger company about 2 years ago and jacked up the prices about double or triple.
Mm-hmm.
So while I was on the phone with tech support trying to get my prices grandfathered in, I went out and researched some other remote access tools and came up with Splash Top.
Splash?
Splash, S-P-L-A-S-H, top, all one word.
That's what he said, too. So I had never heard of it. And you say it works well?
It works almost as well as Go to My PC. There are some issues with not letting your computer go to sleep. Go to My PC was a little bit better than that. I've got one user that kind of complains about it, but the other nine, you know, are happy with it. But it's also about a third the price, about $60 a seat. So it seems to work well,
right,
as long as you're not, you know.
With iPad, too?
Not with iPad.
Oh, come on. That was a whole question, guy. Were you listening?
I was listening, but I'm sure there's somebody out there that's trying to get to their office computer from home.
No sweat. I'm just giving you a hard time.
You know, if you're home on a snow day and you just want to try to sign in and somebody can turn your machine on,
yeah,
this is a nice way we have for that. And I agree with you on the iPad. Just download your email there if you really want to use it or on your phone.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, guy.
All right. Thanks, fellas.
You're welcome. Thank you for chiming in. Appreciate it. So a couple people talking
about
Splash.
I like the Show My PC. It's been around a while. It's free.
Show Your PC?
ShowMyPC.com.
Hmm. That's another one, huh?
I put a link up there a little earlier.
All right, cool. A lot of options out there. Okay. Matt says we can continue. We're going to go quickly to Andrea in Southington. What's going on, Andrea?
Oh, please help me. I got a email that had a spreadsheet attached to it,
mm-hmm,
and in reality, it should only print out three pages, but looking at it on my laptop, and when I print, it comes out 12 pages with, like, extra columns that didn't fit.
Yeah, you're not formatting it right.
So where do I go?
All right, Andrea, I'll take that call off the air because we're running out of time. I'll tell you where to go, kid. All right, I'm gonna put you on hold. Hang on one second. I'll try to help Andrea print out her Excel spreadsheet. I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. It's a pleasure to work with you guys. If you need to get anything we talked about, go over to computertalkwithtab.com. Go to our live links area. Everything's there posted live. Of course, you can follow us on Facebook. We're going to have everything posted to our podcasts. If you want to go out and follow us on Twitter, go out to Tab Computer Sys. We're everywhere. And, of course, radio.com will be where the podcast is. Thank you, Matt, for producing. Stick around. Dr. Alessi's up next.
See you next year.